Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Please come in and find a seat. Want to get started today. I am very excited about chapel today, and I don't want to give away too much. I'm going to leave Dr. Creamer to do the introduction, but I'm very excited about our speaker and what he has meant to me in my ministry, and he didn't even know that before he got here today, but you'll find more out about that in just a moment. Let me start us off this morning with our announcements. I have three for you today. The first is about the Counseling and Psychology Association. They're hosting a panel discussion. Now, everything on the slide is correct except for the date. They had to push the date. The new date is Tuesday, April 9th. Same time, 5 to 6:30, same place, Horner Hall. You still need to RSVP. There you see Naomi's email. You can also submit questions to that email for discussion. So you can submit questions the night of. You can stand up and ask questions, or you can submit them beforehand if you'd like to do that. If you want to submit beforehand, just submit them to Naomi, and she'll be sure she can review those and then use the ones that are appropriate, okay? So go to that event. Be sure to RSVP. The next announcement, sign up this week in the Student Services office to get your Ranger tickets. This is coming up soon, April 12th. You can pick up the tickets very soon, next week. If you can, wear a Criswell shirt, so that way you look like a group, you represent the college. We would love for you to do that. So if you're going to go, be sure you sign up and have that fun time with your fellow students as you go watch the Rangers play. Third announcement, on April 16th, Pet Partners. Man, I'm reading this and I'm just, never mind. All right. Pet Partners will be on campus with therapy dogs from 10:30 to 12:30 for our students to play with as you have a break from your studies. So, as the pressure of the semester mounts, what's better than getting down on the ground and playing with a puppy, right? That's fantastic. So, yes, praise God. So, they'll be here April 16th, 10:30 to 12:30. Have a break from your studies. Play with a puppy. Also, Student Success is going to have some snacks available for you. So, going to let you play with a puppy and have something to eat. So, don't emotionally eat, but we'll have snacks for you if you need some. Okay, there's my lame joke. All right, that's it. Let's welcome Dr. Barry Creamer to introduce our chapel speaker.
Thank you, brother. All right, I'm going to introduce our speaker for today. He's Dr. Tony Matthews, the senior pastor at North Garland Baptist Fellowship, where he has pastored for 27 years. That alone deserves a hand, right? Amen. We are grateful for you coming to spend time with us at chapel today, Dr. Matthews. I'm going to mention a few things to you. If somebody finishes a degree, for instance, some of you will finish your degree and you will graduate in May. That deserves an doesn't it? I mean, if somebody gets a degree of any kind. So here's a degree, Bachelor of Business Arts from Angelo State University. That's the right response. There you go. An MDiv and a DMin from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. But an MACL from Criswell College. That's the right response. There you go. Now you're figuring out how to do this. So a couple of other things I want you to hear about him. The church he pastors is unique. It's a multiracial congregation. And the reason Dr. Campbell mentioned him a moment ago is I went to a church down in Southeast. Which do y'all say? Southeast Dallas. I used to say South Dallas. And every time I say that, I get in trouble. But in the Grove, Bethany Baptist Church, I did an interim there quite a while back. Dr. Campbell went and did a student revival there, and they ended up talking to him about coming to be their pastor. And when he first went to that congregation, it's a congregation that had a lot of Caucasians in the congregation and not as much racial diversity, but some racial diversity. And in order to learn how to serve in that congregation where Dr. Campbell was going to be going, he looked for literature, good literature, from good biblical Christian thinkers and leaders about how to do multiracial ministry. And the book he found is one called There's More Than One Color in the Pew, a handbook for multicultural, multiracial churches. And the author of that book is Dr. Tony Matthews. That's who wrote that book. Now, seriously, his congregation has transitioned in ways that are mind-boggling over the 27 years that he's been there. And he has succeeded in a multiracial context in ways very few people in the entire country can say they have succeeded. If you want to learn about ministry like that, this is the person you serve with. And I want to encourage you as a student, if you're looking for a place to serve, Dr. Larson, for instance, is a member at North Garland Baptist Fellowship under Dr. Matthews and serves there as well. If you're looking for somewhere to serve, this is a great place to go. Learn from them, learn how to do the ministry there, and then be able to share that with others elsewhere. So he also has served as former president of the African American Fellowship of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention and the vice chairman of the board for the trustees at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminaries, which in some settings, you know, is a challenging thing to say right now, but still. He is married and has three adult children, so I want you to join me first of all again in welcoming Dr. Matthews to chapel today. Thank you, sir. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless. Father, we are grateful that you've allowed us to gather today, and remember that our purpose on this campus, we do higher ed, we spend our time learning and applying ourselves to scholarship and going through all the motions that anyone has to go through to get through higher ed. But Lord, our purpose for being here is spiritual. We've been called by you. We've been set apart by you. You've given the school a purpose, but you've given each of us a purpose in coming here and accomplishing in your will your desire. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use this time to remind us of our grounding in salvation, in our redemption, in the conversion that you've provided for us, also in our obedience in the faith that you've taught us about. We pray that the music that we sing, the words that we hear and speak, and then the things that we follow up with after chapel would all be a testimony to your grace and goodness and our faithfulness in response. We prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord and good morning, right? All right, that's 11:22. Fantastic. I'm nearsighted, so I have my glasses off, and I may have to put those on later on. And it's just an honor to be here. Dr. Creamer, thank you so much for the honor, for giving me the invitation. And Dr. Campbell, just a kind soul. It's good seeing my friend and one of your professors, Dr. Jim Larson. And it's just good being back on campus here at Criswell College. I'm just honored to having had the opportunity to be a student here and to be a part of what Criswell College is doing. I'm a pastor, as Dr. Creamer mentioned to you, and I love pastoring. I'm a pastor at heart. And whenever I read the scripture, whenever I in particular, look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm always asking myself, what can I learn from Jesus and apply it to my life in terms of pastoring? Many of you will graduate, and some of you right now, if not all of you, are involved in ministry in your local churches. If you're not, you should be plugged in some way and somehow. And for those of you who will become pastors and leaders in the church, is so crucial to see how Jesus leads, to see how he led, and to ask the Spirit of God to help you navigate through the landscape of ministry in the local church. And I've tried to do that for the last 30-something years. I've pastored our current church for 27 years, and I pastored 5 years in Brownwood, Texas, and I'm still learning quite a bit. And as I read the scripture in the Gospels, it seems to me that Christ had quite a few challenges with people from within the church rather than outside. And now one thing that many of us who go into pastoral ministry, you will discover quickly that you will be met with challenges in the local church. And how we navigate through those are very important. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, the Bible says, he entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Get up and come forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they kept silent. After looking around at them with anger, grief, isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful to me to see that Jesus was angry. He was grieved. That's good news. He was grieved at the hardness of their heart. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. This is what our Lord went through. This is what so many people in pastoral ministry, in ministry itself, will experience. You and I will always be met with challenges. Now, if there is a thesis or a nugget that we can hold on to from this context, it would be that we are mandated as God's people to meet the needs of people. Meeting the needs of people supersedes meeting or satisfying man-made traditions. And wow, are we met with man-made traditions. We see in this text here, we see in the text first that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he did not let the experience he had previously passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, he did not let that negative experience prevent him from going into the synagogue again. And that's why I want to just kind of talk about against the grain Christianity. Against the grain Christianity. And we many times we have to go against the grain of culture, against the grain of society, and yes, sometimes against the grain of man-made traditions within the church. So do not let man-made traditions keep you or discourage you from being actively involved in the church. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Mark, he entered again into the synagogue. A man was there whose hand was withered. I love the fact that he entered again into the synagogue. He went, and listen, Christ went back to the synagogue even though his haters were there. Have you noticed that? His haters were there. His haters in verse 2 were watching him. The Bible says they were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. I say that these individuals, they had what I call, or they were guilty of the attraction subtraction plan. The attraction subtraction plan. They were attracted to Christ. They were watching him. They were attracted to him, not to add to his ministry, but to take away from it. Everyone who serves in ministry at one time or another, you will be met with groups or perhaps individuals within the church who will be attracted to you or may try to attach themselves to you with the intent to subtract. To subtract. Christ didn't let that stop him. He went back into the synagogue, the Bible says. He went again into the synagogue where there was a man whose hand was withered, and they were watching him to see if he would heal. You know what else sticks out to me with this text? I know you love the Word of God because this is Criswell College, right? I know you love God's Word. You know what? And we ought to not run and speed through the Word of God. Take our time and let's look at God's Word and let it marinate. Let me tell you what sticks out to me also in this text. They knew this is absolutely devastating. They knew that Jesus could heal, but they didn't care. They didn't care. Oh, it's right there in verse 2. They were watching him. What were they watching him for? They were watching him, the text says, to see if he would what? Heal. They knew that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had the ability to heal, and yet it did not make them any difference. It did. They put the rules and the regulations and the do's and the don'ts and the stop signs and the yield signs. You know, they put all of those things before the green light of ministry. They were watching. They were guilty of this attraction subtraction plan, and they knew he could heal, and they didn't care. But let me tell you what I love about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, let me tell you what else sticks out. Jesus purposely and proactively created a conflict, and he didn't care. They didn't care about the fact that he could heal. Jesus didn't care either. He created this. He said in verse 3, he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. Oh, pray over a page until it becomes a stage. Can you see that? Can you see the drama? Man, this is better than any Lifetime movie you'll ever watch. Man, can you see this drama that's taking place? Isn't it amazing? Man, he was in the grain field previously, and he comes back again into the Sabbath, and the haters are watching him to see if he would heal. They didn't care if he could heal. Jesus creates this crisis, and sometimes, let me say parenthetically, in ministry, you know what? You have to sometimes wisely, and I want to underscore that, create a crisis. Now, I could do that after 27 years, but I have to tread lightly. Don't you do it in your first month in your... If you crack the whip too fast, you're going to fall off that horse. Take your time. Christ creates this crisis, and he brings the man forward. And he says, get up and come forward. And look at verse 4. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. So the first thing I mentioned is that we ought not let man-made traditions keep us from serving in the church as Christ did not allow that. And next, in the midst of your righteous anger, still do what's right. Because at the point when they kept silent, verse 5 says, and looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Christ was angry over their hard hearts. Do we get angry anymore over things? The right things. There's so much anger. And this is righteous anger, okay? This is not the type of anger that is simmering within you where you're hot-headed and you explode. This is not the type of anger that we blame on our great-great-grandparents. And, oh, you know, granddaddy, Ike had a quick temper, so I got a quick temper. I just got that from him. It's not that kind of anger. This is a righteous anger over the fact that these people put rules and regulations over ministering to a human being. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel 12, 11 and 12, he talks about how it's awful how folks would value sheep over people. It's all about people in ministry. It's about ministering to people, loving people. Wherever you serve right now and wherever you will serve, it's about connecting with people. And when you love people and you spend time with people and when you put people first, they will know it. And it will also afford you to correct them because they know you have already connected with them. He was angry. My Lord was angry. He was angry over their hard hearts. He looked around with them at anger. He was angry with the fact that they were more concerned, as I mentioned, over their rules rather than the person. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was angry because he knew their intent, their intentions. He knew what was in them. I love verse 5, part B. He said to the man, and see, they kept silent. You know, these are big talkers, guys. man, you know, these religious, self-appointed, unauthorized religious hypocrites of Christ's day, they're big talkers, but when Jesus posed the question, they were silent. Silent. And Christ says what? Stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love the Gospels, as I mentioned. I love seeing the pastoral ministry of Christ. I love seeing his leadership. I love seeing the fact that he's God, the Son of God, the Son of God. And I love seeing his miracles and how he moves among people and restores individuals. He says, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Now, you know what? Had I been there, it seems to me that these folks would have gotten themselves together. You mean to tell me he stretches out his hand and is healed and they still have problems? In ministry, sometimes no matter what you do, it's not going to be enough. Now, of course, Christ is the Son of God, and he's able to heal, and he's able to work miracles. That wasn't enough for this group. And in your context, at times, okay, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you do it, you're going to be criticized. You got to be ready for it. Criticism is a part of pastoral ministry and ministry itself. You have to have the Spirit of God to help you, and I need the Spirit of God to help me when critics come. You will have critics. How do you handle your critics? You can't run away. If you're in ministry and God calls you, you have to stay firm. You have to, and listen, let me say this also. Learn to listen to your critics. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Especially the haters, right? Man, you know they're haters, and man, they're running off the mountain. A broken clock is right at least twice a day, though. Listen to your critics. I remember when I came to Dallas, 1992, the church was called Victory Baptist Church, and we were in Richardson, Texas, and I was just a young buck, you know what I'm saying, from Brownwood, Texas. I pastored the church in Brownwood. Man, I had one conflict in Brownwood in 5 years, and after the conflict, after the business meeting, me and the brother, we hugged each other. It was such a nice, laid-back church, man. I came up here to the Dallas area, Richardson, Texas, and was pastoring the church. I followed a person who made some mistakes, and we came in, and man, we had search committees, and it was just a huge operation for me. And several months after I came, there were individuals who just did an about face, a 180. Oh, let me tell you, it was tough. It was tough. I had letters written to me. I had people trying to trap me, Dr. Creamer, on a three-way call. And you know, I had parents telling youth to say some bad things to him. Folks took me out to lunch, and they, you know, got their chests up in me. And anyway, listen, I had a guy that tried to split the church during communion. During communion. And he walked up on me when I was up on the stage. He took the stage and he walked up on me, you know, and he pointed his finger in my face and told me to submit to him in front of the congregation. Now, being, you know, born and raised in Buffalo, New York, and from the hood, I was really tempted to go street ministry. But I had all of these things going on, all of this, and I was so angry, and man, I had all of these complaints and things were going on. So my mentor, Marshall White, who was gone on to be the Lord, I called Marshall crying and crying and crying. I said, I have all these critics, all this criticism. Oh my gosh, they don't know what they're doing. And he said, come on over, Tony, let's sit down. I had a scathing letter written to me by someone who did not mean me well. I mean, it was a well-intentioned dragon. And he said, bring the letter to me. I'll never forget this lesson on handling your critics. Listen to your critics. He set me down on his couch and he said, okay, let's read the letter together, Tony. So we started reading the letter and he said, oh gosh, that's pretty bad. They should not say that. I said, you're right, Marshall. What are they talking about? And he read it again. We were going down, we're reading together. He said, oh, that's right about you. I looked at him and said, what? He said, let's read on. I thought he was making a mistake. He had eye problems or something, so we let it pass. Read a little bit more. Tony, yeah, you see, I told you about that maybe a year ago. That's a problem you have. And now my temperature is rising. And we went through those three pages, and he told me, although it was designed to tear you down, look at what's correct and correct it, and separate the people from your problem. Listen to your critics. Man, listen to your critics. Learn something from your critics. Now, of course, in the context, Christ our Lord, he didn't need to learn anything from these individuals. But, you know, for those of us who are 100% human and we serve in ministry and we serve in pastoral ministry and all kind of leadership roles, when your critics come, these folks came. When our critics come, don't just dismiss them. Listen to what they have to say, because they may be saying something that can help you, even though it's not their intention. Christ was angry. Stretch out your hand, and he healed them and restored them. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And you know what? What's beautiful? Jesus did not heal the man with works. He healed him with his word. They were all hung up on working on the Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Wow. There were like 39, according to one source, 39 prohibited activities on the Sabbath, ranging from sowing to reaping to tying and untying. Oh, my gosh. And look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who just tells the man with his word to stretch out your hand, and his hand is healed. Right then and there, they should have gotten it. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, and it's all right when you read the Word of God and you're studying the Word of God and you're going through it looking for pastoral leadership applications and just life applications. It's all right to break out into praise every now and then when you see Christ doing something spectacular. He healed the man. They didn't get it. See, they didn't understand that Jesus Christ is not just some human being who is 100% human. He is human and divine. He is God in flesh. He is Jesus, the Son of God. He is also Jesus, God the Son. He is full deity and full humanity. He is not like the Pharisees and scribes and these religious hypocrites. He is God, and he is able to just speak the word, and it's done. They miss Christ. They miss who he was. And what does that teach us? It teaches, among other things, that you can have a whole lot to do with the church and not anything to do with Christ. They missed him. Don't you remember in John's Gospel chapter 8 when they were talking about, they had this problem with Jesus, and Jesus was telling them, hey, listen, you know what? Basically, he said, I know Abraham. They got into this Abraham talk, and Jesus says, hey, listen, I know Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. You remember that language there? And then they got to talking about Jesus' age. Oh, you're not this age yet. And Christ basically, this is Matthewology. He was basically saying, Tony Matthewsology. He was basically saying, you know what, yeah, I'm not this age yet, but that's on my mother's side. But on my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. So yeah, he's a healer. On my mother's side, I can go to sleep in a boat. But on my father's side, I can get up and say, peace, be still. On my mother's side, I can walk on the seashore. But on my father's side, I walk on water. He is God in the flesh. They missed it. They missed it. They missed it. Healed the man. And guess what they did? Look at verse 6. They missed that he was God. Verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Wow. Wow. They hated Jesus so much that they actually conspired with their enemies. These were enemies. They were enemies. They didn't like each other. You know you are in ministry, you're in the thick of things, when your enemies get together to take you out. And this is what they tried to do with Christ. And the text says they wanted to destroy him. To destroy him. You know, in wrapping this up, sometimes we have to go against the grain. And that's cool. That is great. You got to have courage. Get all the training you can, and we encourage that. Get the training, be the best student that you can be, learn all that you can learn. In addition, remember that in the context of ministry, you're going to be met with some things that perhaps you just didn't learn in school. You and I need the Spirit of God. Because when you are met with the fire like Christ was, and when you become angry, you have to keep that anger under control. You have to do the right thing with the anger. Jesus still did the right thing. He ministered to the man. And that's what we are called to do. Going against the grain of culture and against the grain of man-made traditions and rules and regulations that have nothing to do with ministering to people. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the Criswell College and the president, Lord, and the entire administration, student and staff. Oh, Lord, bless us now as we go out to our places of ministry where we serve and where many times we'll be met with Pharisee-like individuals. Help us to stay focused and focus on ministering to people. And this is our prayer. And we love you and we thank you for the honor. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yes. Yes, I know you're glad you were here. I'm glad I was here. Thank you, Dr. Matthews, for coming and bringing that word from the Lord. Thank you very much. I was very encouraged, and I did not ever register in my mind what you pointed out from the text, that they were there to see if he would heal. That just goes to show you that as you study, there's always something new to see in the Word of God, always something new to learn, that they were there that day because they knew he had the ability, but they wanted to catch him doing something. That's amazing to me that they would do that. But you're right, and enough war stories have been shared today, but as you go out and as you serve and as you seek to follow the Lord, there will be criticism, there will be pushback, and so that was a good word of encouragement no matter where you're going to be, whether you're going to be in a classroom or whether you're going to be counseling or whatever you're going to be doing with the Lord, there will be criticism, and so a servant is no better than his master, right? If they hated Jesus, of course they'll hate us as well. So let's pray that the Lord would bless us for the rest of the day. I hope as you leave here today that you are blessed. And Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this chapel service today. Father, I pray that in those moments where we are confronted by critics, as Dr. Matthew said, that we would listen to what they say, that we would receive what is true and that we would reject what is false. And Lord, that we would be able to just simply follow you. And Lord, that we would have the courage on that day when it comes about, when some person tells us not to do what you have clearly told us that we must do, that we would simply do what you've called us to do, that we would follow you and trust you in the midst of that and let you handle whatever consequence there might be, and that you would defend us and be there with us. And Lord, help us to do right in all that we say and all that we do. Father, we love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.